just give you a moment to find that. Okay, let's just join in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, please open our hearts to hear what you want to say to us this morning. Lord, speak to us each as individuals here this morning and help us to understand what it is that you are asking us to do, what steps you are asking us to take. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. So as we know, we're going to be talking today about the fruit of the Spirit. And the verse that Amelia kindly brought to us earlier in Ezekiel, there are several places in the Old Testament where we are promised that God will send the Holy Spirit to all believers. And that part from Ezekiel was where we started with this. And what I thought it would be, that it was important to talk about today was to actually think about what we actually mean by the fruit of the Spirit and what that actually is. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is the spontaneous work of the Holy Spirit that is in us. And the idea is that the Holy Spirit produces those sort of character traits which are found in the nature of Christ. Now, these are things that we have, and they're not things that we can just obtain without God's help. If we want to see the kind of the Spirit working in us, then we need to make sure that we're joining our life with the life of Christ. And what I thought would be useful to think about was to think about how we actually embed the fruit of the Spirit in our lives today. And the quiz that we did earlier was to sort of introduce ourselves to what the fruit of the Spirit actually is. And when I was researching this, I realized quite how many fruit metaphors there are throughout the Bible. And it's a very useful way to think about how we should be living our lives. It says in John 15, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." And there are all sorts of other references that liken how we should be living to the sense of working together in order to draw close to Christ. Now, I just want to be really clear about the difference between spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, because I think sometimes people get these sort of mixed up. So spiritual gifts, which we'll talk about another time, those are outlined in Corinthians, and those are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives individuals specifically in order for us to minister to the needs of each other. And God gives us these at different times for different purposes. We can pray for them, we may receive them unexpectedly, we may sort of already have them. We're not going to be talking about spiritual gifts today. We're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And the idea with the fruit of the Spirit is that this isn't sort of divided or distributed between believers. It's not as though some of us have some of them and others have others. The fact is that we all have all of them to some extent. Now, obviously, none of us are perfect individuals. The only perfect one is Jesus. But when we have the Holy Spirit, when we have the Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit will work in our lives via these different characteristics. So as I'm talking through the fruit of the Spirit today, I really want us all to be thinking, are these characteristics showing through me? Not through me, through you. Through you as an individual. Because we all have an opportunity to use these characteristics in a really positive way in the settings that we are in. And those of you that are in home groups at the moment, we are looking at fruitfulness as a topic. Because without Jesus, without the fruit of the Spirit, we're very limited in what we can do. And there are lots of different ways in which you can look at the fruit of the Spirit. And what I've done is to sort of loosely divide them into three different groups. So there's nine of them, and they quite neatly divide into three groups. So first of all, relating to God. Do you remember the first three? Love, joy, and peace. Secondly, relating to how we are with others. So patience, kindness, goodness. And then thirdly, thinking actually about the self. So faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So I thought it would be useful to think through the different sort of characteristics that are associated with those different aspects and think about how we are already exercising these and how we might be able to exercise them more in doing what we're doing. So whether we're talking about how we are at school, if we're in school, or at college, if we're in college, or at work, if we're at work, or in our family lives, in our lives with our friends, in our lives in our community. So as we're thinking about these, let's think about actually, are we demonstrating this character trait, this trait of the Spirit? Are we demonstrating it in the best possible way? And if we're not, what else could we be doing in order to show that? Because it's our responsibility to show Jesus' love to the people around us. We have a responsibility to do that. Let's start with love. So love is obviously a huge theme in the Bible because, as we know, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish but shall inherit eternal life. That underpins Christianity, that underpins what we think, and the fact that God loved us so much that he sent his Son to come and die for each of us as individuals. Jesus says in John, love one another. We are called to love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. What does that actually mean in terms of our lives, in terms of how we live? Are we showing that love in all settings? And secondly, joy. It says in James, the opening of James, consider it pure joy when you face trials. Now that's really hard. Life can be really tough sometimes, and it can be really tough to be joyful at all times. But the fruit of the Spirit means that we do have that in us. Also, that sense of peace. Thirdly, that sense of calm that comes from knowing God. We talked a bit about this last time when we were talking about time and what we do with our time. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Whatever turmoil we're in, whatever complicated situations are occurring in our personal lives, in our life with our family, in our life at work, we know that God is there with us. Be still and know that I am God. That is the first kind of grouping that I've put together. Secondly, we think about patience, kindness, and goodness. Patience is quite tricky because often we want everything and we want it right now. The kind of the nature of the age that we're in, there's that sense of the immediate, that sense of needing everything yesterday. But actually, we need to learn to be patient. God is patient. God is consistently patient with us. Even when we get it wrong, even when we mess up, even if we make mistakes again and again, God is patient with us. And as we grow as individuals, we need to grow in patience. We need to reflect the fact that God is patient with us. Therefore, we need to be patient with ourselves and patient with the people around us. Secondly, that sense of kindness. I don't know if you've noticed over the last few years, this sense of kindness in the secular world has become a thing. Hasn't it? Have you noticed it? Everyone's talking about, oh, let's be kind. Let's do that. Let's do kind things. As though it's a new thing. Yeah? It's in the Bible. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. We are called to be kind all the time. to those around us, to relatives, to friends, to strangers. We're all sinners. We have all got things wrong. But God is consistently filled with kindness for us. And we need to make sure that we are filled with that kindness for others, for the people around us. And what about goodness? Goodness, it's not just about being a good person. When we were looking at the quiz earlier, one of the questions in there was, is it about talking about the good deeds that we have done? And I know sometimes we do kind of want others to know about the good things we've done. But actually, it's not right to be sort of bragging about that. It's that kind of sense of we need to be actively seeking to do good to the people around us. So continuously thinking, how can I bless others? How can I show care for others? How can I engage with really good activities, with what is already going on? And this might lead you to think, actually, how else could I be serving? How else could I be helping out? Maybe helping out within your community, helping out within this community, within this church community. Maybe you feel that sense of, actually, I'd like to show that goodness. I'd like to get involved with something. Maybe God has a message for you today. And thirdly, my third little group of thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. We often sing about the faithfulness of God. You know the hymn, one of my favorite hymns, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's the opening line, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Faithful One, so unchanging, Faithful One, You're my rock of peace. And the song that we sing right at the beginning of every service here at St. John's, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. We sing this every week. We too should be faithful. We know that God will never, ever leave us. Isn't that mind-blowing? God will never, ever leave us. Are we demonstrating that sense of faithfulness? And penultimately, gentleness. In a world where we often have to champion ourselves, we often have to sort of shout the loudest to be heard, to put our point across. Being gentle is not that fashionable in today's world, but we do have it in ourselves to be gentle. When we have the fruit of the Spirit, we have it in ourselves to be gentle. It says in Proverbs 15 verse 4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Again, another metaphor about growth. And finally, self-control. That can also be difficult, but we do have it in us to exercise this. We are never on our own. The Holy Spirit helps us with this, and it helps us to draw on what that actually means. God never gives us more than we can bear, never gives us more than we can cope with. But if we can think about the idea that the fruit of the Spirit is in us, is manifested in us, how can we draw on that? How can we make sure that the Spirit is doing these things in our lives? So hopefully that's given you a few things to think about in terms of what we mean by the fruit of the Spirit. We have the fruit of the Spirit in us. The question is, how can we enable the fruit of the Spirit to grow in us as individuals? Amen.